wasn't by a brother in need. Help him out, give him something to eat.
Welcome back to the broadcast. As we continue with this information, research fuels dire oil prediction. It's a book entitled The End of Oil. On the edge of a perilous new world, they say. Well, here's the Agenda 21 slip into this. Efforts are being made to develop alternatives such as solar energy, wind power, and hydrogen fuel cells, or to shift the energy economy to natural gas. But they say that will cost trillions of dollars and will require decades to accomplish. The author notes, coal is dirty. Installing pollution control equipment on electric power plants is costly. As oil supplies are shrinking, demand is growing. The United States is still the biggest consumer in the world, but China's thirst for oil is predicted to surpass ours in just a few years, they say. The biggest consumer of oil is vehicles, they say, 750 million of them, and growing by 50 million a year. Particularly in China and India, they say. Quote, within the next two decades, extensive and sustained improvements in energy efficiency will be not simply a sign of moral virtue, but an absolute essential component of the future energy economy, end quote, the author says. There's the subtlety of bringing into place Agenda 21. However, because of political and economic considerations, the author writes, quote, for many energy experts, true change in the global energy system is virtually impossible except in response to some serious shock, end quote. The world will blithely continue guzzling oil until it abruptly crashes into that roadblock. Well, this is all by design. The UN system has control of oil in Iraq now, and in parts of the Middle East as well, other parts. The IMF, in other words, has the control of the oil wealth of the world. The engineering process of getting us out of our vehicles is underway. And the best way to do that is to raise the price of gasoline. Here we see, dated Sunday, August 22nd, from the Oklahoman. Students are turning over shovels of dirt at the May groundbreaking for the new Douglas High School. The Oklahoma City Public Schools Foundation sponsors groundbreakings, grand openings, and community meetings related to Oklahoma City's Maps for Kids projects. MAPS is part of Agenda 21. Metropolitan Area Projects. There's a fall forum. The Oklahoma Foundation for Excellence is sponsoring its 16th annual fall forum for local education foundations on October 27th at the University of Oklahoma's Oklahoma Memorial Union in Norman. Local education foundation leaders, school administrators, and educators are invited to the networking and training event. The forum will provide information on fundraising, board development, foundation issues, and teacher enrichment. Oh, boy. They talk about the 20-year-old Edmond Public Schools Foundation gives about $50,000 every year in project grants for teachers, according to Cliff Doherty, president of the Board of Trustees. Grants are paid for graphing curriculars, globes, reading software, and extra books. The grants don't cover basics such as pencils, paper, furniture, and textbooks, however. The group also gives training grants that allow educators to attend workshops and conferences. What are the workshops and conferences going to be teaching you, people? The criteria of Agenda 21. Right out of the paper. They're not going to tell you that. They're not going to say it right outright. Because once you start using Agenda 21, people are going to start to question, what is Agenda 21? What is it all about? This is not something that I'm making up. This is the reality of what's coming into place. Out of the paper dated August 16th, I saved this by Walter Cronkite. We've talked about this for quite a while. Well, actually, I talked about it quite a long time ago. And so did others, like Bernadine Smith of the Second Amendment Committee. Walter Cronkite wants the Secretary of Peace. And what Cronkite says here with this article, you've got to hear it all. With this nation embroiled in what threatens to be an interminable war on terrorism, an idea put forward last year by Ohio Representative Dennis Kucinich has, for me, that's Walter Cronkite, considerable appeal. Kucinich was the one candidate in the Democratic primaries to unfailingly promote the party's traditional Franklin Roosevelt liberalism, proposed the establishment of a Department of Peace. Now he has introduced on the House H.R. 2459, a bill that would establish a peace department, adding a new cabinet post to the executive branch of government. The Department of Peace would, quote, advise the Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of State on all matters relating to national security, including the protection of human rights and the prevention of, amelioration of, and de-escalation of unarmed and armed international conflict, end quote. Cronkite goes on to state the Secretary of Peace would serve as a delegate to the National Security Council and also would, quote, provide training of all United States personnel who administer post-conflict reconstruction and develop and demobilization in war-torn societies, end quote. In other words, the Department of Peace, with a highly trained and dedicated staff, would be a constant working counterpoint to the Defense Department. That's right, to the Defense Department and its expenditure of billions of dollars to perfect the weapons of war. Wow. The department would act not only in an international context, but also in those areas of domestic policy that endanger the nation's well-being, the proliferation of atomic weapons, and the violence in our schools, our homes, and on our streets. Where the intolerant prey on those whose lifestyles they find offensive. It might well come up with some new strategies for turning around our losing war on drugs. And it might also lobby Congress to put an end to the cruel and unusual punishment of small-time drug offenders called mandatory sentencing. It would also advise the Attorney General on matters of civil rights and labor law. Why do we need this? Why do we need the federal government to grow even more? With the Department of Peace? You've got to be joking. He goes on to state, Walter Cronkite, that is, dated the 16th of August of this year, but its primary importance seems to me would be in international affairs, demonstrating to the rest of the world, to borrow the old motto of the Strategic Air Command, that peace is our profession. Well, that's subtle brainwashing for you. Now, to some, this is going to sound terribly naive, given the current state of things and the very real hard-edged dangers that face us. But the naive just might lie on the other side of the side of those who believe the military force and our policy of preemption are alone sufficient to make us safe. The fact is that there is nothing in this proposal that would weaken our military posture or our ability to strike terrorists and their havens and to do whatever is necessary for the defense of the United States. Walter Cronkite is an extreme proponent of the UN system, listeners, and this reeks of the United Nations all over what he's saying here. He says, but wouldn't it be an advantage to have a peer of the Secretaries of Defense and State whose primary responsibility it was to develop the methods and means of peaceful conflict resolution and to offer peaceful alternatives in the councils of war? Wouldn't it have been an advantage in the run-up to the Iraq War to have had a cabinet officer whose department was responsible for training U.S. personnel in human rights, conflict resolution, reconstruction, and the detailed planning necessary to restoring a durable peace? In short, to do what was so disastrously absent when our forces rolled into Baghdad. He goes on to state Kucinich's bill is more elaborate and specific than I can spell out here. That's Walter Cronkite. It is a long way from realization. With only a few dozen congressional sponsors, it needs a lot more to move another step along the legislative process. Walter Cronkite, I don't know how far he goes with the UN system as far as being in this country. He'll deny it, that we are the UN. We are the UN. We are the leader in promoting these directions. Walter Cronkite is a closet communist, highly paid, in the past at CBS. Regarding Hurricane Charley, I'm seeing the estimate of casualties is quite underreported, evidently. But coming from the paper dated August 17th, Hurricane Charley spawned a little panic. Plywood and lumber buying first thing Monday morning, a wholesaler said, but buyers claimed calmed down some as they wore on. Emotions, not actual shortages, will be the main driving prices up, the main thing driving prices up this far inland, they say. Well, I say these insuring companies are going to go out of business without Federal Reserve funding. Here we see dated August 17th. Nine schools across the metro area are recipients of more than $700,000 in technology grants for the 2004-2005 school year. Each school and 12 others statewide expects to receive $79,000 for technology equipment and teacher training. What are they going to do? They're going to teach the Agenda 21 curriculum. They're going to teach about sustainable development. That's what's coming up. As we move along, certainly dated August 16th or 15th, soldiers returned from Afghanistan to excited families and friends. Well, think about those soldiers that did not return from Afghanistan or did return in a box. And that's the sad situation that we have today. The world situation, the attack on Afghanistan was planned for long in advance. First, the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan. And ultimately, at the end of the 10-year battle they had, where they only lost 15,000, according to Jeff Nyquist, compared to our 58,000 in our Vietnam War, as they called Afghanistan the Soviet Union's Vietnam War, for our consumption, people, the roads and the tunnels and the bridges were developed for the invasion of Afghanistan by the Soviet Union. And according to Abdul Shams, who was part of that government of Afghanistan before it was invaded, he was done with the blessing of the U.S. Corps of Engineers as well, helping out to build these projects in Afghanistan. Where the bridges were built 10 times stronger than the heaviest Afghan vehicle, so tanks could cross in. The Soviet Union has been our ally for years. The Cold War was a scam and a setup for the people of the world to absorb. So we see bases struggle to find doctors. Bases are struggling to find doctors and dentists. And that means they're going to get poor care. Our soldiers are going to get poor dental care and poor doctoral care. Here we see threat of new violence looms over after talks collapse. This is dated the 16th or the 15th of August. And this is negotiations to end the fighting in Najaf. Broke down threatening to spark a resurgence of the forced clashes between Shiite militants and a combined U.S.-Iraq force that have plagued this holy city for more than a week. The collapse of talks will likely cast a pall, or a pall, on Iraq's nationalist conference, which starts today, the 15th of August, gathering 1,300 delegates from all over Iraq in what is considered a vital step toward establishing democracy, people. Democracy. Well, what's happened since then? A gigantic conflict has risen out of that. People don't want to be told what to do. People don't want to be told they have to disarm. And yet we and our military might, being part of the IMF system, has invaded. Here we see from Gadamba, Burundi, attackers armed with machetes and automatic weapons raided a UN refugee camp in western Burundi, shooting and hacking to death at least 180 men, women, and children. UN officials said, well, gee, we have to have a rapid reaction force, don't we? We need a UN-backed rapid reaction force to go to any hot spot in the world and to quell that uprising, don't we? That's what they're promoting here. This is also dated the 15th of August. Burundian Hutu rebels claimed responsibility, insisting the camp for Congolese Tutsi refugees fleeing tribal fighting was a hideout for Burundi army soldiers and Congolese tribal militiamen. Militiamen. Militia. Vilification of the militia, people. And most of the victims appear to be women and children, they say. Well, we've got to have a rapid reaction force for the UN. And who's going to be part of that? We're going to be a major part of that. Our mercenary military will be a major part of that. And that's what the Osprey is all about. That dual prop combination helicopter airplane, where the rotors and the engines, one on each side, rotate up to land like a helicopter and rotate forward to operate like an aircraft. That's designed specifically for the purpose of having a rapid reaction force for the UN system. The Osprey, which has had a lot of problems along the way. I guess you can be thankful for that. I guess we can be thankful for that. Once again, this Hurricane Charley, we don't know whether it was a creation or not. According to some sources, the numbers have been under-exaggerated, under-reported of the casualties. I don't know how to get to the bottom of that. More wars and insanity. Here we see dated August 7th. I know I'm going back several weeks. Local Marine killed in Mideast. This time it's Lance Corporal Joseph L. Nice, 19 years old. He called his grandmother every week from El Adbar province of Iraq. Mary Sneed said her grandson planned to return to his Nakoma Park home in September for his first vacation from fighting since Christmas, he said. The article says. And Mary Sneed is the picture of her reminiscing about her grandson. It's just a sad, sad thing. The mess continues. And people are trying to find ways of making a living. And here we see state agencies raided a moonshine operation Friday, confiscating the largest still, one investigator said, he has ever seen. Alcoholic beverage laws enforcement agents. That's right. Alcoholic beverage laws enforcement agents closed down the still and hauled away 35 gallons of illegal corn whiskey worth about $1,750, they say. Agents arrested Dave J. Williams, 48, on a complaint of operating a still and possessing untaxed liquor. Uh-oh. And he didn't resist arrest. Well, what are you going to do when you have guns pointing at you and you're trying to find a way to make a living? That's all this is about. Trying to make a living, trying to earn a living, trying to find a way to put food on the table for your family. That's what we're up against in America. As I reported in the shortwave broadcast today on WBCQ 7.415 at 3 p.m. Central Time. The NAFTA was a major step, according to Henry Kissinger, of leveling the playing field. Bringing down our economy. That's what it's all about. Bring down this economy to its knees. Destroy the middle class. Here we see South Asian moon monsoon death toll tops 1,900. At least six Indian children drowned with a tractor carrying them home from school in heavy rain slid into a reservoir, and a mudslide smothered 11 sleeping workers as the death toll from the monsoon season across South Asia rose at least 1,931, officials have said. Well, listen, is this weather modification in action? This has been reported as the coolest summer in Oklahoma recent history. Is weather modification a contributing factor to that? I don't know. Maybe so. We don't see a whole group of people trying to destroy this country. We just have certain people manipulating and moving the mannerisms and the control structure towards global governance. But the whole point is the public has been brainwashed into accepting what they're told, believing everything they hear. And that is the sad situation that we have, America. We're told to believe, and we follow along what we're told to believe. We continually do this. Mind control at work in America, listeners.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
A bird that never lands? One does exist. Learn more about it in today's Creation Moment. And now, here's our Creation Moment's host, Ian Taylor.
The small bird known as the chimney swift is unmatched in its flying ability. These little birds are so adapted to the air that they have only small, weak feet that do not permit them to walk or perch like other birds. In fact, their Latin name even means without feet. When swifts do come to rest, they do so against a vertical surface like a wall. They are often found resting inside the protection of chimneys, which led to their English name, chimney swift. A large flock of swifts may sight a chimney and begin circling it in smaller and smaller circles. Finally, the birds closest to the chimney enter it, followed by the rest. One person reported seeing a flock of 10,000 swifts enter one chimney over a period of 37 minutes. When David was cursed by Shimei, he realized that the curse would be of no effect because he was innocent of murdering members of Saul's family. In Proverbs chapter 26, verse 2, his son Solomon compares unjust curses to a bird which never lands, meaning that when people speak evil of us or curse us, if what they say is untrue or unjust, their words will have no effect. It is God's wisdom to think of unjust things that are said about us as being like the swift, always in flight and never landing upon us.
To get a complete set of transcripts from Creation Moments programs, ask about the book Letting God Create Your Day when you visit us online at creationmoments.com. Join us again for another Creation Moment, proclaiming evidence of God's truth.
If you can hear my voice, you are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. If you would like to continue hearing these programs, there are several ways that you can help. One, you can make a donation or subscribe to your favorite program by going to firstamendmentradio.com on the internet and follow the instructions there. Two, you can sponsor your favorite program with your business advertising dollars or spend your dollars with those businesses that advertise on your favorite programs. Three, simply call in on live programs and tell them that you are listening on firstamendmentradio.com. Now anyone can do that one. You can find the call-in numbers on our schedule pages at firstamendmentradio.com. And finally, you can call 559-733-5002 and leave your name and address, and we will send you a support pack. Thank you for listening.
Oklahoman of Miriam Campos, a student at Oklahoma State University in Oklahoma City. She's hunting for books at the campus bookstore. It says here, after Campos and her family moved to the United States from Mexico, she spent 10 years waiting to become a U.S. citizen. Now she is encouraging other Hispanics her age to take advantage of a new state law allowing undocumented immigrants to pay in-state tuition at colleges and universities. In other words, illegal aliens can go to school here. It doesn't subtly say it, but this reeks of the United Nations system. It doesn't say it, but actions speak louder than words, people. And the action of this under human rights treaties is apparent when you do the documentation. The title of this article, Undocumented Residents Get Chance at College. Right next to this article, training program certified by China, OU Outreach allowed to expedite offerings to Chinese businesses. It states that the University of Norman recently joined a select number of U.S. universities certified to offer training to Chinese businesses without having to receive approval from the Chinese government. The communist Chinese government would be a better way to put it, but they've dropped the communists because they expect a dumbed-down population to accept all of this. Goes on to State University Outreach applied for the certified status and was recognized as a qualified vendor by the China Association for International Exchange of Personnel. The China Association for International Exchange of Personnel. As a qualified vendor, Outreach will be able to expedite training to Chinese businesses without having to go through the Chinese government approval processes. It states that in the past, OU Outreach has provided non-credit executive training programs to agencies such as PetroChina and China National Offshore Oil Corporation. The newly acquired status will aid OU Outreach in meeting educational goals with future Chinese partners. Fits right into the current communist goals of 1963, all of them in various degrees of fulfillment. Democracy is the code word for communism. And sustainable development is the code word for population control. That's where we are today. In these sad times. Well, how can I describe it any other way? When your sons and daughters, fathers and mothers are going off to war again, we didn't learn our lessons from the past, and this is all about freedom because of what happened on September 11th, 2001, which was an absolute creation. It was a creation when I saw it from the very first day when I watched it. Explosions going off at the corners of the buildings of the Twin Towers. You could see the explosions going off. I said it the very first night I was on the air after that happened. September 11, 2001, I came on and said, yes, ultimate creation, ultimate Pearl Harbor. I've been harping about it ever since, as others have too. Well, here we see, dated August 5th, we're going back a ways. Governor Brad Henry and the Oklahoma Office of Homeland Security Director Carrie Pettigill are expected to announce which local governments will receive 2004 Homeland Security grant funds. The funds are part of a $32 million award that the State Homeland Security Office received earlier this year from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security's Office for Domestic Preparedness. Oh, my. Here we see Tim Stewart, another article, has been appointed to the position of Deputy Director of the Oklahoma Transportation Authority, effective August 1st. Stewart has been with the Oklahoma Transportation Authority since 1984, serving most recently as the Director of Planning and Operations. Well, they're going to help to implement the smart highways. The Oklahoma Transportation Authority. They'll have to work hand in hand with the NAFTA corridors to expand that direction. We live these created scenarios for a purpose. And I'm afraid we're going to get Kerry for the next president. Here we see, and I said this a long time ago, that when that last space shuttle went down, reported over Palestine, Texas, which is very ironic, with an Israeli on board, very ironic, Russia will charge the United States to deliver astronauts and cargo to the International Space Station starting next year, meaning the shuttles aren't going to come back anytime soon. And this is according to the head of the Federal Space Agency. Although Russia and the United States agreed to split the cost of sending men and material to the space station, only Russian spacecraft have been used since last year's space shuttle disaster. Last year, Russian space officials said that a Progress supply ship flight cost about $22 million and a Soyuz crew capsule was slightly more expensive. And I said, when that happened, this is going to give the Russian-China space program more prominence. And that is what happened and is happening. We've been allies with Russia for years. When it was the Soviet Union, we were allies with them, but just didn't know it. Just didn't disclose it. Here we see dated July 30th, officials see vaccinations rise in state. Immunization rates for Oklahoma children reaching age 2 are significantly improving, but still are well below the national average, according to health officials. To solve state inoculation shortcomings, parents and guardians are being urged to have their youngsters receive a fourth shot for diphtheria, pertussis, and tetanus. Well, once again, that's a good reason to homeschool, because you just can't trust what's being injected in your body. As one of our callers a long time ago, or a while back, read the insert on the package of what was in the vaccine. Yuck. Dangerous. And this is a sad situation that we have, America. In the meantime, we have this Portfolio 21, part of Agenda 21. They say that sustainability leaders have sound environmental management systems to help them identify and address environmental impacts and liabilities, develop action plans and procedures, and establish environmental accounting within the company. They expect companies to have identified those areas where its business activities, including products and services, have the greatest ecological impact, publicly reported how these impacts are being addressed, and continuously improve performance over time. Well, it's a mess that we live with today. And that is the sad commentary I've got. Can it be changed? I don't know how to say it can be changed. According to the Sunday Herald listeners, radiation experts warn in an unpublished report that DU weapons used by allies pose long-term health risks. An expert reporting and warning that the long-term health of Iraq, Iraq's civilian population, would be endangered by British and U.S. depleted uranium weapons, has been kept secret. The study by three leading radiation scientists cautioned that children and adults can contract cancer after breathing a dust containing DU, which is radioactive and chemically toxic. What about our soldiers, people? They're breathing the same thing. But it was blocked from publication by the World Health Organization, which employed the main author, Dr. Keith Bieberstock, as a senior radiation advisor. He alleges that it was deliberately suppressed, though this is also denied by the WHO, the World Health Organization. Bieberstock, who believes that if the study had been published when it was completed in 2001, there would have been more pressure on the U.S. and U.K. to limit their use of weapons in last year's war and to clean up afterwards. Hundreds of thousands of DU shells were fired by coalition tanks and planes during the conflict, and there have been no comprehensive decontamination. Experts from the United Nations Environment Program have so far not been allowed in to assess the situation. They go on to state that their study suggests that the widespread use of depleting uranium weapons, Iraq could pose a unique health hazard to the civilian population. And that's according to Bieberstock to the Sunday Herald. Well, what about Afghanistan? Do they use DU weapons there? What about Kosovo? Did they use DU weapons there? What about Bosnia-Herzegovina? Did they use depleted uranium weapons there? Well, hell yes, they did. This is the point in the problem. People aren't paying attention. People don't care. Are they spraying depleted uranium over the population here with the aerial spraying? Is that what's being sprayed? DU weapons? Here in this country? What a sinister thought. Their study suggests that the widespread use of depleted uranium weapons in Iraq could pose unique health hazard to the civilian population. Well, duh. What about the civilian population in other countries that have already been attacked by us and the UN system? I remember so well watching, and a lot of you have heard this, when we first went into Bosnia in 95, the vehicles were white, UN white vehicles. And the outrage and the enragement of the population was so great that they turned around and painted them green. And there's a population of people that aren't going to accept the UN system, no matter how it's presented. Well, they're going to get it and won't know they've got it until it's all over, until the dictator's put on them to disarm by a certain period of time. Otherwise, you'll be subject to arrestment and imprisonment if you don't turn in your weapon or weapons. Gun collecting, there's nothing wrong with gun collecting. Firearms are a work of art. Firearms are well-made tools, most of them. It's the linkage connected to the handle that makes the problem. But the elitists are in fear of people with guns because the elitists know we don't accept a one-world government. We want to restore this constitutional republic. We want to restore the 50 sovereign individual state constitutions. And this is what it's all about. The engineering of disarmament has got to be done before all the news comes out about what's being done. And depleted uranium is no different. There was a study which was co-authored by Professor Carmel Mothersill from McMaster University in Canada and Dr. Mike Thorne, a radiation consultant. Beaverstock suspects. That what was leaned on by a more powerful pro-nuclear UN body, the International Atomic Energy Agency, the IAEA. He believes their study was censored and suppressed by the World Health Organization because they don't like its conclusions. Previous experience suggests that World Health Organization officials were bowing to pressure from the IAEA, and that's the International Atomic Energy Agency. It goes on to state the Beaverstock study, which has now been passed to the Sunday Herald, pointing out that Iraq's arid climate meant that tiny particles of DU were likely to be around and inhaled by civilians for years to come. It warned that when inside, their radiation and toxicity could trigger the growth of malignant tumors. Insanity, people. This is dated around the 24th of August, 2004. The study suggested that the low-level radiation from DU could harm cells adjacent to those that are directly irradiated, a phenomenon known as the bystander effect. This undermines the stability of the body, the body's genetic system, and thought by many scientists to be linked to cancers and possibly other illnesses. Once again, is depleted uranium used in the aerial spraying that's going on? Interesting thought. Interesting perspective. So, as I talked about in the past, and we're pretty much done with the articles that I saved for you. We talked about social aspects of sustainable development in the United States and Vietnam regarding education. Well, how about human settlements? We'll check out Vietnam. No information available. No information available. Blah, blah, blah. No information available. They state economic development and new initiatives in solving social problems have contributed to improvements in incomes and living standards across all population strata in all regions, but the distribution of these benefits has not been equal. In the whole country, about 80% of households now enjoy better living conditions than in 1990. The number of poor households has been reduced. Periods of hunger between harvest have been abolished in many localities, they say. Well, that's Vietnam. When we go to our country under human settlements, federal policy and housing is administered by the Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD. We've heard of them, another mega bureaucracy of the federal system. Most decisions related to land use are made at the local level, they say. As in the case of Washington State, home to Seattle, one of the country's fastest-growing metropolitan areas. In 1990, Washington passed the Growth Management Act. That's the Growth Management Act, which is designed to provide incentives for well-planned growth. The legislation has led to broad-based citizen participation. Sustainable Seattle, a nonprofit organization of citizens, initiated a process to evaluate the city's livability and environmental health via its project on indicators. Federal policy on housing is based on programs enacted by the Congress and administered by the Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD. It goes on to state, however, virtually the entire housing development process, land acquisition, construction, sale, and financing is market-driven. Typically, zoning regulations for housing are developed and administered at local levels with little or no federal involvement. That's because they're given the handout. They're given the handout to make it very easy to comply. It's big, people. Using a broad and open process, the group led the community in identifying social, economic, and government indicators and conducted research to measure Seattle's environmental progress or deterioration. HUD administers mortgage programs to help families become homeowners. HUD also fosters construction of new houses and renovation of existing rental housing, and provides aid for low-income families who cannot afford their rent. Oh, boy. HUD maintains a number of programs, including the Empowerment Zones, an Enterprise Communities program. This latter program seeks to empower local citizens to become, oh, yes, more involved in their communities and aware of environmental technology benefits that result from attracting programs, which includes research and technical aspects of urban development, land use, open space, environmental protection, and other contexts of development. In addition, HUD's Office of Community Planning and Development has a sustainable communities development system aimed at providing overall policy and technical purview of technologies affecting all dimensions of the ecological, land, natural resources, industrial, and development aspects of urbanization. Oh boy. Well, that's a lot of information I flooded you with tonight. A sad commentary. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to tell you, listeners. I need your donations to continue. I hope you work in that direction. The direction for doing that is on my website, AmericanExpose.com. Otherwise, the days are numbered here. Sorry, but this is the way it is. I've done my best for 8 years with a year and a half off to convince you, and many of you have been convinced, of the direction things have turned. And I thank you for your support from the past. Good night, listeners.
You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. We do not have freedom of speech because the Constitution gives it to us. The Constitution